I look at it as well. This last week, it was Pentecost Sunday. And we had a lot of situations taking place in our country. And it's like, you know, we didn't want to lose focus of it. It was Pentecost Sunday. Wanted to kind of go, and sometimes we did kind of go that direction for prayer for our nation, our cities, and the things that God, only God, can handle. Only God can change what's taking place, because He's the only one that can change what's taking place in your lives personally. It is only Him that can change what's going on in the nation, in the world, and the things that's taking place around the places that we are aware of. But how we find the enemy likes to come in and take away, to rob, steal, kill, destroy the things of what God has. God has a perfect plan, amen? God has good gifts. And we find that the things that detract from us as a society is the evil that is out in the world. And last week I shared, and I said this, that God works through man. The devil works through man. They both have an agenda. I'm going to stick with my God, you know, because God is going to come out winning on top. And so, but we find these things taking place, and now I come into this week, and things have calmed down somewhat, you know, but it's still kind of tense out there, blah, 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 you know. And it's Sunday is Trinity Sunday. This is where we as a church want to look at, and being non-denominational. And I wasn't raised in any church in the beginning of my life, and denominational, non-denominational, or anything. So I have no clue to a lot of the things in the Christian calendar other than by what I see. And then when I see it on the calendar, I look at it going, I wonder what that's about. And you begin to look at it and you go, wow, that's important. That's not a bad thing to focus on, you know. So this might be one of the first times that I really kind of looked at this after Pentecost. We began to follow the ascension. We began to follow the 40 days after, you know, the resurrection. And then 10 days after he was ascended, 10 days passed, 50th day afterwards, the Pentecost comes. And now we're out another week. And now we just want to look at the whole three in one. Amen. The Trinity, the triune God. And we come to find there's differences of opinions on that. And it is what it is. There's churches, denominations, groups, whatever, out there that might only focus on one of the three or two of the three or whatever the case is. But I want to be one that focuses on all three, because Jesus spoke of the all three. I don't want to leave out anything that God has for me with the helps that He has available to me through who He has them available through. Where my salvation came through who? Jesus. I was a sinner. You were a sinner. Guess what? There's still sinners out there in the world. And that same salvation that was bought for us on the cross is the salvation of today for those out there that need to come to Him. But the problem is the enemy has got them blinded. They've got them hardened. They got like, I don't think there's nothing wrong, or they think that's a figment of your imagination to think that's happened. I'm a good person. I don't need that. Whatever the case might be. But here again, those are all the things that lies that the enemy puts in to man, our woman. Man is man and woman, into our society. And then as I began to learn and understand about, I always knew of God. Then I got understanding more of Jesus, what He did for me. And as I got to more relationship with Jesus, then I began to continue to read and meditate in His Word. And when He said that He must go so that He could come, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit, the Comforter, you know, he had to come. And for Him to come, Jesus says, I must go. But it's going to be a benefit to you. And so when I read God's Word, I make it personal. Do you? So when Jesus is talking to the disciples, I just put my name in there. Jesus says, Tim, it's advantageous for you that I go. But I don't want you to go, Jesus. I got so much good with you. I love reading about you and hearing about you. And I'm not seeing Him. By faith is what I'm receiving all this is. Because here it is. The entire walk with God is done by faith. Everything and anything under the sun, anything and everything under the heavens of God, we receive it by duly that of faith. And if you just open your heart and just begin to think about these things, you know, we've talked this in the past, that it takes a lot more times to have faith in some of the things that man tries to sell you about how things are going. It's like, really? And so I'm going to default to this. I'm going to default to God's Word. And that's what's going to be my roadmap in this life. This is what's going to help me in times such that we're in now. This is the helps of me so that I know that Jesus says, if you're filled, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the power of. Be filled with the Spirit that will lead you, teach you, show you all truth. That what the Father has showed Jesus, Jesus did. What the Father shares with the Holy Spirit to tell us, that still comes from who? Daddy. Through that of the Holy Spirit to speak into our spirits so that we can be vibrant. I don't want to be a weak church. I don't want to be a doom and gloom church. I don't want to be a church that's welted wilted. Welted means you got hit. Boom, boom, boom. I got welts on my head, you know. I don't want to be wilted, you know. And there's people out there in wonderful churches and all, but maybe they're a little wilted. We can be wilted around here if we don't pay attention to God's Word. If you don't stay strong in God's Word, if you don't stay vibrant and knowing that He has that plan out there for you, and we just know that He will use the devil, anything He can to try to distract us and to get us off what God has for us. But because of the Trinity, the power of the three, there's something there for any areas of your life at the time that's happening. Amen? Hallelujah. People go through a sad situation. Oh Lord, give them comfort. They might be totally estranged from God. But because of His grace and mercy and love, compassion, we can pray, Lord, they may not have Christ as their Savior, but they're going through an awful time right now with a loved one that's died or astray or gone away or whatever the case might be. Lord, would You comfort them? Give them peace. And by His mercy and grace, He can reach down and do that. I don't think He checks His calendar or His book on us and say, well, they're not saved yet. I'm not going to do that for them. No, God is God, and we don't understand how He operates. The only thing that I know how He operates is how He operated with me. Is that how He operates with you? Do you look at how did He operate with me? How did He operate with you guys? Individual, one-on-one, compassion, love, forgiveness, mercy, grace. Because I'm sure some of you, as I look out there, you guys were rascals. Me too. But God loves us. And so we have this blessing. We have this greatest message to share out there for people to come to. And the enemy is going to do what? Everything it can to take it away from that person, to quickly come and snatch it. Talks about that, you know, the sower of the word and all, and the parables of that. We aren't going to go into that. But we do understand how those things will happen, you know. So when we get into that relationship with God, try to just get into it for the long haul. You know, don't be like a Roman candle. A lot of times I've seen people get like a Roman candle. They come into the relationship with Jesus Christ. They're at the altar. They're hopping and shouting and all that. And something's not right. Something's totally deceived or something. But, you know, not to say they didn't get saved, not that Jesus was in their heart and they received Him. But, you know, a few weeks later or 6 months or whatever the case might be, they're estranged from God. Because the world came in and the devil came in and he snatched what was put into them because the ground wasn't prepared. The ground wasn't watered right. Whatever the case might be. And we're all responsible for our own ground. Say, I'm responsible for my ground. It's not my responsibility. My responsibility is just to share the Word of God with you and what God's Word says. It's up to the Spirit to put it into you. It's into the Spirit to recall it back to you. And if I stand as I want to stand with that of God, I want to share nothing but truth of God's Word to help us all make it through and enjoy life on this side of heaven, by golly. Because I'm going to have fun. I'm going to have the joy of the Lord. We spoke about that last week. And this is going to kind of tie in similar to that of Pentecost. We also, by the end of the service, we want to have communion. Wasn't supposed to get the elements here until like the first of this week coming up. All of a sudden, they showed up on Friday. I thought, wow, what a blessing, Lord, you know. And so we'll be able to do that at the end of the service. So here we are, Trinity Sunday. It's the first Sunday after Pentecost. It's to honor the Holy Trinity. My goodness. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't find this word Trinity in the Scriptures. Has anybody ever found it in the Scriptures as you're reading through it? I've not found it. But there's a lot of notations to it. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. New King James says, and Jesus came and He spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to Me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am always with you. Wow. Comfort, comfort. Jesus says, I will always be with you. You're going through a struggle today. You're not alone. You have Jesus' word at it that he's going to be there with you. Lo, I will not leave you nor forsake you. We find in 2 Corinthians 13:14, it's basically the Trinitarian benediction. We find this where it says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion or the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. What a wonderful benediction at the end of that book where they say that, and as Paul's sharing that, that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion are that fellowship with that of the Holy Spirit. Just let that sink in sometimes, what that means, the three in one. There are some other passages we could look at. The Father gives all authority to the Son and bears witness to him, as does Jesus to himself. In John 8:18, it says, I am one, or the Amplified would say, I am one of the two. Mm-hmm. Jesus. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. They're all kind of working together, you know. It's not like God, okay, he's done. Jesus, he does his thing, okay, he's on the shelf. Holy Spirit, now this is all you're going to deal with. No, each and every one of them is still flowing and moving and functioning in the ages that we live in as well. The Father gives all authority to the Son and bears witness to him, as does Jesus to himself. John 8:18, I am the one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. You look at John 12:49-50, the Son claims nothing for himself. Isn't that something? It was nothing. Jesus, it wasn't for him. He only did what the Father told him or showed him to do. It says, for I, John 12:49-50, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. Has anybody ever felt the Holy Spirit tell you something that you should speak or share? Has he ever told you something not to share? Well, I hope you listen to that one too, because sometimes that's like, don't go there. It's not going to end out well, because you're going to say something that's more flesh than that of spirit, because you're still in a fleshly what? Body. My mind is still functioning as Tim. I got to get the mind of Christ. I got to keep working on it. But I tell you, I can say some things that I wish I could pull back. But what's it say? Once I release that word, once I say that thing, it's hard to take it back from that person, because they'll always remember that's what I said. I can say, forgive me, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, you know, but they'll still somehow, because as I wasn't controlling my thoughts, and I'm going to say the devil caused me to do it, but I was just not being adhering to the Spirit of God, that person's going to hear that, and what's going to keep that person, probably what I said, which was bad on my part, I have apologized, but the enemy will probably keep that in that person's mind, if he wants to reiterate what that guy just told you. And so that'll always rebound back. You're this, you're that, blah, 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 whatever. And so I've thrown something out that the enemy can now use. And see, I think as we go through this, being careful of what we say and how we say it and who we say it to and being led by the Spirit, we've got to be careful that sometimes when we begin to act in the flesh and our mind gets tilted from that of the kingdom mind to the worldly mind that I came out of, because I'm still going this way, hallelujah, not as much to the world, praise God, anybody there? Not as much to the world, but I've got to guard those things, because I could say something in air, the enemy's going to take that, and that's going to be used against that person, and then I've got to ask for forgiveness, and then I've got to say, oh, I'm sorry, and then I've got to do whatever I need to do. But I think I can rebound from that because of where I'm at with God, knowing that forgiveness is there. But that person that may not be there, the enemy's going to use that for some time, for a day, a year, a decade, whatever the case might be, because they'll say, yeah, I was talking to this guy 10 years ago. He was a Christian. He was a pastor. You should have said what he told me. I'll never forget what that guy said. What a, yeah, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's like, oh my gosh. Oh, there's that thought that hits me in my spirit, a stumbling block. I could be a stumbling block for that person 10 years down the road, because all they remember is what I said when I was in my flesh, that I should have been led by the Spirit, and I didn't adhere to it. So be careful what we say if it's not led by that of God. Because I want to tell you something. If you're speaking that of God and it's good for that person, the devil ain't going to remind him of that. The devil will remind him of anything negative, down, detracting, you name it. Devil bad, God good. Pretty basic understanding. So this concept of the Trinity, now it may be hard for us to understand. Have you ever had a time trying to explain it to people sometimes out there? And sometimes we all have our understandings of how we've been taught or what we've gone through in different classes and different churches, whatever the setting may be, and just maybe on our own as we've studied things. We just find a disconnect that I don't think this all three is tied together. I just don't believe that. So it could be maybe hard to understand or even to rationalize. And that's a dangerous thing. Man wants to rationalize everything. If I can rationalize it, I can maybe put my spin on it just a little bit to make me feel good, because I'm not a perfect person. Anybody out there perfect? I like to turn some things around in some of the things so that I feel like I'm perfect. But man might want to try to rationalize. But it is clearly taught in the Scriptures. We'll read some out here. But we see the continuity. We see the reference several times in Scriptures that what Jesus spoke, even God, the Holy Spirit speaking, I mean, they're all on the same team. Amen? Isn't that good? None of them are going to speak out of line. None of them are going to speak, and it's going to go arid and say, God would not say to Jesus, that's not what I meant. The Holy Spirit says something. It's not like Jesus says, no, that's not what God meant through me to say to you to get out to. No, they are all in continuity because they're three in one. They're not a split personality. Man might have some split personalities, you know, things of that nature, but God is not like that. So understanding all of Scripture anyway and doctrine comes by that of faith. By faith, I receive my salvation. By faith, I receive my healing. By faith, I receive that I will be blessed, that God will provide. It's by faith, that I have built up, that He has built up within me because of my time with Him, that I have grown stronger. If you have been time with God, are you now stronger than you were 20 years ago? Generally, you should be. And when a situation comes now that I've been serving for 30 years, 40 years, whatever the case might be, you know, I confess it, that I will overcome it a whole lot easier and faster than I was 6 months into following Christ. Because I had a lot more of the world and my thoughts in me and more of my rationalization in me that I would always kind of help that along and steer it myself. But now that I have served Him for some years, been in His Word for some years, been led by the Holy Spirit for some years, I hear from the Holy Spirit for many years, that I can trust what I hear from that of God to be that of God to tell me the good things for me, not to lead me astray, not to put me under, not to do me in, but to give me a fullness in my life to complete what He has designed for me to have and to do and to complete, not for Tim's world, not for Tim's kingdom, but for whose kingdom? His kingdom. So by faith, it comes through the work of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, it is fitting to celebrate this first Sunday after Pentecost when the outpouring of the Spirit came. Woo! Hallelujah! Boy, that was the exciting time, amen, in that upper room. A lot of things happened. A lot of things started. The church was born. Go out! Jesus says, but don't go out until you get the power. Wait. Well, we've got the power now, don't we? You have the power available to you. Ask, receive, ask for more, be filled, continue to be filled, continue to be renewed by that of the Holy Spirit. The key to unlocking the mystery is to observe how the persons of the triune family gives themselves to one another, and it's all done in, guess what, the biggest thing in the Word of God is? L-O-V-E. Love. Love. It's a selfless love. Jesus died. He didn't have to if He didn't want to. He could have called legions of angels to get Him off that cross. He wouldn't have been even put on the cross. They wouldn't have been able to put a hand on Him in the garden if He didn't want to go. He willingly let them get Him. He willingly led to that of the cross. He willingly did everything. Why? Because He says, I do because the Father. Even though He did cry out, oh Father, in the garden, if you can, if at all this cup can be taken from me or pass this cup, here. But He knew that He was on a mission. In our lives today, we need to realize we may not be going to that cross, but we need to realize we are all on a mission. And some of the things that God puts before us that we may need to do may not seem pleasant at the time, and we may say, oh Lord, you know, I don't know if I want to do this, you know. Give it to Wayne. I pass the ball to Wayne. Wayne's got it going, I got enough on my plate. Hey, Doug, here. Doug's going, whoa. It's like hot potato, hot potato, hot potato, you know. No, we got to just, when it comes, we just got to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to get through this because you are on my side. And I'm going to put my big boy pants on, and we're just going to handle it. Well, I'm not going to handle it. You're going to handle it. But I'm going to stand strong in you, Lord. And where I am weak, you are strong. And where I need strength, your joy comes in. And it's all opposite of what the world looks like. You know, the world would rationalize that, say, how can you be going through this and you're laughing? That doesn't make, that's irrational. No, in your life it is, but in my kingdom of life, where I'm at in the kingdom of God, it's a rational thing to do to have joy going through a battle. Because if the enemy can steal your joy, we talked about this a week or so back, if you lose your joy, you are defeated very quickly. Because then everything else just starts going until, praise God, through the grace and the mercy and prayers and supporting church family, supporting family members, whoever the case is, intercessory prayer that we can pray. And that's why a church is important. That's why a fellowship, a body is important, that we can pray and help and intercede for that brother or sister at that time and help, Lord, undergird them with your strength. Lord, bring them back. Lord, give them that hope. You take your joy, you have no hope. What's left of life? What's really left of life if you have no hope and no joy? Drudgery, doom and gloom. Ain't going to get any better, just going to get worse. As a child of God, it may get worse around me, but if I have to go through it, my Lord will be with me, and somehow, some way, I'm going to come through it. And I pray and hope that I can come through it with a smile on my face. We've had some disciples, well, all of them, except one, as far as being martyred for that cause of what they were doing, of sharing and the spreading of the news. Did you not believe, did you not know that Jesus, when he said, don't go out until you receive the power upon high, then when you go out, you will have that power and to proclaim what? The good news. Do you not think that Jesus knew that these people were being lined up, that somewhere down the line they were going to be martyred, they were going to be killed for their faith and trust in Jesus? He shared some of that with them, but they may not have comprehended it. They were thinking worldly stuff at the times, because that's where they were at. That's for us today. We think of the things worldly because where are we at? Worldly. Or in the world anyway. But Jesus says that what? In that one passage we read in the very beginning, that, oh, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Maybe going through a hard time. Jesus says, I'll be there with you. Well, how am I going to know that you're here with me, Jesus? You're going to have strength by that of the Holy Spirit. Your spirit is going to be lifted up by the Holy Spirit, giving you strength, giving you patience, giving you peace, giving you joy, giving you things that God has for this, for us. He giveth. He gives it to us. And it's all these good things. But it's the other side of the fence. It's the enemy that wants to take and steal, sneak in, steal, kill, destroy, like a thief in the night. Do 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 do. That's why darkness is full of evil. When did a lot of the chaotic rioting take place? Was it at 3 o'clock in the afternoon generally? Maybe some, but 99% of it was after the dusk, when it got dark. Evil comes out. When darkness comes, there's that spirit of evilness in there that just amplifies it. It's like, now I can do what I want to do under the guise of darkness. That's why Jesus comes, and he is that light. And light dispels darkness. And if we continue to pray, continue to intercede, continue to ask God to change the atmosphere, the spiritual atmosphere above our cities, our nation, I know that things will take place. And I'm trusting my God for that to take place. I had shared with a few that after last Sunday and the situations taking place in our community itself, in the afternoon after I found out what was going on, I had a hard time concentrating, trying to even listen to the service and trying to edit out and kind of condense it to put it on the website Sunday afternoon, because all of a sudden I heard some things happening and had some text and all come in from some officers and all that about what was taking place, and hey, this is getting hairy, hey, this, blah, blah, blah. Man, I tell you what, I was sending out messages to the other chaplains, you know, I'm sure they're already doing this, but it's like, hey, we need to pray. Pray for these officers. Pray for this city. Pray for this community, because this thing can go south fast. And I think by mid-evening, I was whipped throughout the whole afternoon, just praying, listening, praying. At about 11 o'clock Sunday night, 11:20, I sent a text out to one of the officers, and I just said, "Is our city calm at this time?" And he said, "Yes." So about 9 or 9:30, everything just kind of went. So it just goes to show you that it's not, you know, I'm not trying to do it in my strength, but in your physicalness, you will kind of, anybody been there? I'm sure some ones, any of us really, family members, loved ones, that we go in to intercede. It might, you know, we start praying, and before you know it, it's not just 20 minutes, it's like 4 hours, 5 hours later, 8 hours, whatever the case might be. It might be throughout the entire day. It always comes back to you, always comes back to you. So you're doing this, and all of a sudden it hits you. You go into prayer. Okay, you can start doing this. 25 minutes later, it hits you again. Go into prayer. So, you know, there is a good chance that you'll come out of it like, oh, wow. Woo! That's where I say, oh, Heavenly Father, send the Holy Spirit. Revitalize me. Renew me. Fill me up. Because as we go into prayer of all these things, this is what we're seeing, is that we get sucked out, our strength. It's not our strength, it's His strength. But I'll be glad to let His strength go out to help things, because you know what? He'll send more back to me. So anyway, as we pray in the situations, we have to do that and pray that and know that He's always there for us. The Father serves the Son. The Son serves the Father. The Father and the Son, they defer to the Holy Spirit, who in turn serves and defers to the Father and the Son. Put that on a flow chart. That'd be pretty easy. Just put the arrows in. I'll just keep going this way. So anyway, that's the serves and defers to the Father and the Son in oneness that is eternally dynamic and inexhaustible. See, that's, I got exhausted. You get exhausted doing your battles for situations. I know that. We all know that. Why? We're human. We're under this human strength and emotions and things, and it'll just wring us out like a rag. But the power of God, the power of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they're inexhaustible. That's why they're always there, ready to be called upon. Doesn't God's word say that He does not slumber, sleep? You serve a God that never sleeps, never slumbers. He's always there, ready to go. He already knows what's going on in your life anyway. But He's there to hear your praise go up to Him, or your, well, praise first, yes, worship. Are your prayers of going into situations that you need His attention in? Hallelujah. So here we find that they're together. They're dynamic. They're inexhaustible. The mutual love of the triune persons, they spill over into the creation, and it is seen in their generous cooperations of saving the lost. I know we look at Jesus and how He came, and He did a lot of miraculous things, and healing and touching and opening eyes and deaf ears and limbs and all that stuff. That was good stuff. But He really came for this. To save the lost. The thing that God put on Jesus' to-do list, okay, I'm going to send my Son, me in the flesh, I'm going to go down there. First thing to do, one, save the lost. Bring salvation. Make a way to reconcile the lost back to me because I love them. I created them. They're mine. Yeah, things got out of control in the garden. Evil came in. But I'm going to send something that's going to help them return back to me, if they will receive Him. One, Jesus, proclaim to the lost salvation. Get them back to me. Allow there to be a way for them to receive forgiveness for the sins and the things of that nature. Cleanse them. Build that relationship back. So we are what? Reconciled back to God. And we're here to reconcile others back to God. And on the side of that, or the sidebar of that, is, you know what, along the way, you might pray for some healing. And there might be people touched for healing. There might be people touched for that. There might be, jobs, finances, relationships, all these other things which are a great blessing, those will be accomplished as well. But the thing is, reconcile them back to God the Father. Because once that happens, you turn them over to Him anyway. As a church, we can only share and teach and show what the Word says, but it's up to you individually to make the way with God. It was only up to me personally to get a hunger in my spirit, to keep searching, to keep going, to keep hearing, to keep following, to keep changing to whatever He wanted. And when I heard those things and I listened and I found some scriptures to help and I prayed and prayed and prayed and then I make those decisions and we changed or whatever the case might be. But it was me, us, you individually, with that of God. Let God minister to you Because number one, my salvation came through Jesus Christ, and now I'm hearing from God through that of the Holy Spirit, that I know that it is God's voice telling me these things because I look at it in God's Word. If it contradicts God's Word, it ain't the Holy Spirit of God. It's the enemy trying to, you know, do some mojo jojo stuff there, you know, to kind of make me think that. But then I begin to think about it, and I get a check in my spirit, and it's like, I don't know. Lord, is that really you? And if you take time, be before Him, read His Word, meditate, you will hear from Him, and He will say, that is not of me, Tim. Don't do it. Or He might say, wait and see. He's told that. He's told that to me a lot of times. Anybody else here been told by God, just wait. Just wait and see. I've had Him tell me it will not be like this for very much longer. I've had Him tell me, say, it will not be like this. There will be a change coming. He didn't tell me exactly how long or whatever, but I was sitting long enough to where I did, guess what? I saw the changes come about because I did what? I waited patiently because He said, wait. We've got to have the ability to wait upon the Lord, for they will renew their strength. We sometimes wonder, why am I not being renewed in my strength? It's because you're evidently, we're not waiting on the Lord, because His Word very well tells us that, doesn't it? They that wait upon the Lord. I don't beat up anybody in here if you're thinking like, oh, gosh, look at me. I'm, you know, what I've done. No, but it's to give insight. And it's here again. It's for me, too, to hear what I'm saying because I go through stuff, too. I've got to wait. But I've learned by His time with me and my time with Him that I can hear His voice, that I know His voice, that I don't have to have somebody here, over here and here come to me and say, Tim, this is what the Lord. Now, somebody will come and say, Tim, I just feel that this is what the Lord said and I wanted to share this with you. 9 times and 10 times out of 10, it should be all they're going to do is do what? Confirm what? God the Father, throat to the Spirit, to your spirit, to say, He has told you already, Tim, and I've already had this conversation with God, and I'm kind of like, well, I don't know, God, I'm just going to, you know, just give me some peace, give me some peace. Things go on, all of a sudden, brother or sister or somebody not even in the church, whoever might come and say, I don't even know you, but God just wants me to say this to you. And you go, okay, well, thank you very much. And you're going, yes, yes. I heard you, God. Not that I doubted you that you spoke to me, but it was like I heard and I waited. And you fulfilled that to me, God, because you what? You love me. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit's leading, guiding, the Holy Spirit's strength. Oh, hallelujah. Father, and for the Holy Spirit to work in me like that of Jesus, to have compassion on those around me, so that I can love them like Jesus loves them. So, it spills over in creation and is seen in their generous cooperations in saving the lost, saving us, saving me. New King James, John 14. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. How much closer can you get to a person if you're not inside them? Amen? You know? I know the Lord is right at my side. I left and the right, and I pray for His protection. Lord, go before me. Lord, put angels behind me. Lord, go beside me. I'm protected. But to know that in me, that of the power of the Holy Spirit, He's in us. Now, it says this, if you, Amplified say, if you really love me, or if you will keep, or you will obey my commandments. If you really love me, you will keep my commandments. And we talked about the helper that last week, duplication really, of comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, you know, that's the Holy Spirit. In verse 25 and 26, it says this, John 14, 25, 26. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. All things. On Trinity Sunday, the Christian church, we ponder with joy and thanksgiving what the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have done to accomplish the salvation of a sinful humanity. It has brought remembrance of how Christians should respond to the love of God, to the love that God has shown to us. What He has shown to us, we need to show to what? Others. Praising Him and giving Him glory. We remember the Father as our Creator, the Son as our Savior, and the Holy Spirit as what? Our Comforter. We've already looked at 2 Corinthians, the Trinitarian benediction there, you know, about appeals to believers to aim for protection, live in peace, ending with a prayer. You can look at Matthew 28, 16 to 20. We've already looked at that, about what was said there. But again, as we wrap some things up here coming down, today regarding Trinity Sunday, we can find and read clues written in the Scriptures to guide us to a fuller understanding of the triune God. John 1, 1, the Father is God from the beginning. The Father is God from the beginning. We find also Jesus revealed Himself as equal to the Father in this: I and the Father are one. John 10:30. Together they sent the Holy Spirit. You can find that in John 14:26. Matthew 28:19. Go therefore, make the disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So as we look at this day in our calendar, let it jump off to you to be more than just a wording on the calendar, like, oh, Pentecost Sunday, oh, Christmas, oh, Easter, oh, whatever. Those are all powerful things, 4th of July, you know. We've got all these things on our calendars. But let this sink in a little bit to think of, today is a day that we reflect back on God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, the triune God. We rejoice, we praise, we worship, we thank them. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I can say this. I have benefited from each one of them in some way in my life. Thank you, Father. So we find that after mankind lost the relationship with the divine family of the triune family, as we lost that relationship of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it's restored back to the fellowship by God's own actions. This happens when man acknowledges the helps that originated first from who? The Father. God's help for us is expressed by that of His Son, Jesus. And then God's help is energized in us by the Holy Spirit in us. That's why it is so important, folks, to have that in you. If you don't, let's pray. Ask to be filled, because I'm going to tell you, you ask to be filled, and God ain't going to hold it back. God wants you to be filled with His Spirit so that He can teach you, so He can show you, so He can talk to you. He's got a major plan for you to accomplish. He's got things for you to do and to take care of. And He wants to give you the tools to be able to know what's taking place, that when He speaks, that you know it's Him and not something of the world. Because we've got to be very, very, very cautious. I think we see it more and more in our days that we live in today, that how simple something can be, but how easily it can be distorted or convoluted. And pretty soon we lose track of what the truth of it is. And so in our time of today, we need to be led by that of truth. Everybody, every one of us. Hallelujah. And it's there through that of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that? Amen. Thank you, Father, for that of the Holy Spirit, for that of Jesus, and for you, Lord, who created this whole earth. Didn't He ever did it? And He said, I'm done. This looked good. He looked back and He thought, that's good. You know, this past couple of weeks, or last week, I guess, back, how interesting, you know, we sent a couple of guys up through a rocket up to the space station, and it made me reflect back to think back all the upheaval that was taking place. That was probably the best thing to do, is get in that capsule and leave the earth. I'm out of here. You straighten it up and we'll be back in about 6 months, okay? We got our Tang and our peanut butter. We'll be good. But now then you look, you think they're up there at space station, and they're going around the earth. And from space, doesn't the earth look calm and tranquil? The blue and the clouds. You look down on there. Anybody remember that movie, The Rocket Man? It was so funny. Anyway, he's up there and he's talking and he goes, it looks like a blueberry. So I think of that movie when I think of that, and I think of the blueberry, because he says, it, because they ask him from the earth, well, could you describe what the earth looks like to you from up there in space? And he goes, well, it looks like a blueberry. Looks just like a blueberry. So anyway, but I thought, you know, they look down at the earth and how beautiful it looks from space. God created that. It was perfect. Well, at one time, wasn't it? Well, he's coming back when that time comes. It ain't going to be on my time clock or what I think it should be. It's going to be on God's time plan that he's got in place already from the very beginning. Just figure that out. As soon as he spoke it into existence, he knew exactly everything was going to happen to it, you know, and when it's going to happen. My mind can't comprehend that. So I'm just going to say, yeah, it looks like a blueberry. I want to go to a time and have communion with you. Communion is one of the two ordinances that we're still to follow to today. The one being that of water baptism, full immersion. The other one is that of communion. Jesus says what? Continue to do this until I return. So we'll do that today. Thank you, Father. Now, Lord, as your word has been shared, I pray, Lord, that it'll touch each one of our hearts where it needs to be. That those that are here today will find strength in it. Those that may listen to it online will find strength in it, Lord, because it is your word. And so I thank you for it. I thank you that it's a word that is true. It's a word that we can refer back to. I thank you, Father, that here we are in the Trinity Sunday, Lord, Triune Day, Lord, that we have you, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, the three in one. It's a blessing and to each and every one of us. So we thank you, Father. Be with each and every one now, Lord, as they go. Guide their steps, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.